Our Sunday night Big Brother recap is sponsored by TrueCar. Now, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can help you buy a used car as well. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better car buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. There's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and you can see what other people pay for the car that you want, so you know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. With TrueCar, you'll connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. And with TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want. Best of all, there's an average savings of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who has worse mobility and is leaving the house less frequently than Christmas. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our special West Coast edition of the Big Brother recap. And Sunday night, we got a lot of stuff going on. It was the Game of Thrones premiere. I just finished talking about Game of Thrones over on Post Show Recaps with Stephen Fishback. Had a lot of fun there. But now it's time to turn my attention back to everything going on in the Big Brother house. And I'm going to be joined with two guys that I spoke to Thursday night to talk about what's been a pretty wild weekend in the Big Brother house. First is a man who was very upset to have Christmas be out of the house, and I have a feeling he's probably has only gotten more angry. Here is Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Yes, I've gotten more angry about it. I still don't understand why she's there, but we can get into it.
Yeah,
and, but I'm happy to be here, though.
Yeah, Brent, you look very sharp tonight.
Thank you. Yes, I had this shirt was buried in my closet somewhere. It's like a Christmas present when you find a shirt that you haven't seen in a long time. You're like, oh yeah, you still look good in that. Oh, so yeah,
I think it's a Christmas present. I thought that's something that you find outside of your house and then rarely once in a while shows up. And then also a man who's very ecstatic to be reunited with his precious dogs. Here's Alex as well. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. Yeah, I'm a little ragged this weekend because it is a little crazy, like going from living on your own to having two like puppies just join your life. They are a little bit of a handful, but I'm enjoying it and I'm enjoying watching feeds. You know, it's been a lot of good time of downtime and puppy naps and feeds and stuff this weekend.
Yeah, so. You have your own puppy cam when the feeds go out. You can just start All right, so a lot to get to tonight here on the West Coast edition, hashtag RHAP, to get your questions in for the show. Hopefully some people who do not get a chance to watch us normally are here with us live tonight. So excited to hear from you later on in the show. But I guess let's get into talking about an episode here tonight where we had probably the first half of the episode had to do with the wall competition, and then the second half of the episode had to do with Alex and her ultimate decision to make these nominations, which she ends up going with Dominique and Jessica here as the two nominees. Jessica was the one we could have predicted going into this, but the Dominique storyline begins to develop here in this episode tonight. First off, I always like to ask, Alex, do you feel like that we got a fair edit of the events that transpired?
I mean, you know, I suppose as fair as you can do when we haven't seen Dominique all season, and now all of a sudden we've got to like interject her into the story.
Well,
the way
we did
you
get a lot of we saw the Dominique talk show both weeks so far.
Yeah, well, at least they gave us that, right? Because at least you know, I mean, right, Thursday night, there was a possibility they don't show that. And, you know, luckily that was, you know, a piece of the Cody story, right? Because if that wasn't a piece of the Cody story, maybe we don't get that. And that actually is like the beginning of the story of the downfall of Dominique as well, as it turns out. Mm-hmm.
And Brent, we got to see Alex come to a decision. We saw her talking with the people in her alliance, and then we ultimately saw her talking with Paul, and we got this setup of, you know, Paul and I have this secret relationship that nobody in the house knows how close we are. I mean, is there one person in the house, I guess there might be one or two, that Paul does not have this one-on-one relationship where they feel like that Paul is secretly working with them?
I think probably Ramses and Jessica. I would concur with Alex that I feel like they distilled the episode down to about what they could do given the events of the wall competition and eventually getting to how Dominique becomes a nominee. The one fly in the ointment for me was that Paul on the episode basically wrote off Ramses as a possibility for a nomination, but in real life, that's not how it happened at all. Paul was working extra hard to make sure that Ramses was a potential nominee. He floated his name at first as even somebody who voted against him, even though he's on the block. And he's like, oh yeah, I forgot he's on the block. He couldn't have voted against him. So I feel like that maybe Paul's whole hinky vote thing actually backfired, because Alex for the longest time was actually looking for who the hinky votes were, and it was pinned on Dominique at least part of the time. And I, you know, it couldn't have been Ramses because he was on the block. So I feel like Ramses escaped blame for that when in all eyes he probably was the next person to go.
Alex, going into this that Paul was pushing all of these hinky votes to be in play for this week? Because I know there's been so much talk over the weekend about where these hinky votes came from. Did we know that Paul pushed Kevin to do this?
We did. At least with Kevin, we did. The Christmas one came as a surprise. But going in, I mean, we were talking about 8-1-1 or 8-1-2 as possibilities. And I think, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, I think we've talked about this. This is not good for Paul. I mean, it's almost, you know, a product of what happens when your HOH goes too smoothly, right? It's like you're able to lock everything up in 3 days. And then you have a bunch of days to just, like, sit on your hands and think about, like, other stuff. And this falls in the realm of other stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brent, it really is amazing to see just how much Paul is doing right now in the game. And I keep waiting for him to slip up and have a fall, but I do have to give credit where credit is due. And he really seems to have everything on lockdown.
He does have everything on lockdown right now, but again, he's been safe. So even if you got HOH, why are you going to talk bad about Paul when he's immune? There's no effective way to go out to go after him. I think Taryn tweeted something earlier in the week that we are going to look back at the hinky vote plan that Paul put together as the ultimate demise of Paul if Ramses is able to stay in the house and eventually go after Paul, because Ramses was the next target. Paul didn't need to do anything to make sure there was another target in the house. Ramses was it. Now, even Alex didn't buy totally that Ramses wasn't the hinky vote originally on the first vote with Jillian to send Jillian out of the house. So I feel like more than anything, he probably created a little bit of trouble where he didn't need to have anything. And again, as Alex points out, that's the product of really having everything on lockdown and sitting on your hands for 3 days and saying, what else can I do?
Well, Alex, let me ask you in terms of the chicken or the egg. Has everything just been coming up roses for Paul because he's safe? Or because that he is doing so well, that's why he is going to be just having everything going his way?
It's a good question. Both, because would he be here if he wasn't safe? And would he have been able, like, you know, he's put in such a strong position because, you know, it completely, like, that twist completely undoes Cody and really puts the fear of God in everyone, you know? So, I mean, that's definitely a factor of Paul's presence now in the game. I think, you know, you get a week removed, 2 weeks removed, like, we'll see what happens. But then you also go back to the fact that, like, it's not a done deal that he would have gone against Jillian. I mean, that's something that we've speculated probably would have happened. Surely it would have happened, but we don't know for sure. I mean, the way they all rallied around Christmas, who knows? They might have done the same thing around Paul. The Mats and Ravens of the world might not have voted him out even over Jillian. So,
Brent, I did strain myself with how hard I rolled my eyes when Paul talked about how he's had the biggest target on his back in the house, and that's why he's had to play so hard this season.
Right. I think that Paul doesn't see things the way we see them. Paul thinks that America saw that he was in danger, and then we gave him the pendant of protection. He thinks that America has my back. That's what he's saying in the house. But that's not really what happened. We didn't even know Paul was a possibility to go up. He got the pendant of protection because he was the only known quantity over a house guest of 16 other people, and it just happened to go to him because he was a name. It didn't really happen the way Paul thinks it did, but that doesn't change the fact that the House perceives it the way Paul has been telling it.
All right, let's go and start with the wall competition, and I want to talk through Alex's decision-making process. So Alex is left up on the wall with Elena, and they brokered an unusual deal. Alex, could you talk through this deal between Alex and Elena, which sets up a lot of these nominations?
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, because Elena is like offered more than she should be. And then she like, given what she's offered, she like takes less than she could kind of. It's like a really weird, it's like in the negotiation between, like, it's like going to a bazaar and seeing two people who don't know how to haggle. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of interesting. I mean, cause yeah, Alex, I mean, really offers to protect like Elena and whoever Elena wants protected, but Elena doesn't really like press the issue on that too hard. She's like, well, protect me. Mark? Yeah, Mark would be good. You know, it's not like too much on the back burner, which I guess, you know, it's makes it more likely for her to honor it. But it does seem like maybe Elena could catch some flack for like, well, didn't you try to protect me maybe? Or, you know, luckily, I mean, it seems like Alex isn't trying to turn on any of the people that could have potentially been in that position. So it should be fine.
Yeah. I never felt like Alex was going to go through totally with this deal, even if Elena did push it. So I feel like Elena was in the correct game mode by not pushing it. Like, if she had pushed it any further, like, something worse could have happened for her, I feel like. Maybe Mark and Dominique both end up on the block. As it stood, only one of her friends ended up on the block, and there was no way that Alex... This is the old Dan Giesling thing. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. There's no way she's going to keep five people safe when she's keeping the four people that she likes safe. There's nobody in the house left to put up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So we end up with Alex as the head of household. The other thing that's going on leading up to this is we see Paul talk about how he needed to have this conversation with Dominique and Mark because Cody outed them as knowing that Paul was going to be the replacement nominee back in week one. Brent, did you like the way that Paul handled that, where he pulled them aside and told them, hey, here's this thing Cody told me. I don't believe it, because if it was true, then obviously we couldn't have this relationship. But I just want to let you know that Cody was out there throwing your name under the bus.
Yeah, Paul has never been totally comfortable with the whole Mark and Dominique relationship, and I feel like he feels like there's a kernel of truth to what Cody said, if not outright truth. I mean, he feels like that they, if they didn't know in, like, by the letter of the law that Paul was going up, that they knew in spirit that he was probably going up sooner than later. And so Paul obviously doesn't trust them because of that. More than anything, I feel like he handled it correctly because he did go to them as friends together and said, look, you know, I just want you guys to know this. Like, I'm coming to you with this information because I care about you. You know, like, I don't believe this guy, but he said this about you and I want you to know it. And I feel like he played it about as well as he could.
Yeah.
It is crazy because it all comes back to Cody's horrifically bad execution in that HOH, because if he's not so ridiculously bad and doesn't tell any member of his alliance about what's going on, then it wouldn't have created all this confusion. I mean, Paul is like, ever since, he's certain there's no way nobody knew. What do you mean nobody knew? How could nobody know? It doesn't make any sense. And so as a result, if Cody's going to lie about that, like, Paul's already chomping at the bit trying to buy into something along those lines. So Cody kind of like just fed him enough on the way out the door to like keep Paul's appetite satiated so that like lines of questioning could open up.
So it really feels like that Paul has it out for Dominique at this point. He mentions that he really does not like her talk show. He feels like that the talk show is just a means to an end to gather personal information about people that she can use for game knowledge. Brent, this seems like a wacky conspiracy theory to me.
It is. It's a bridge too far for me. I feel like this is just for the edited show. This is just to distill it down so that people on the show can say, oh, well, she's going up on the block because of the talk show, and that was it. I think more than anything, the problem with Dominique is that Dominique plays the game with walls up. She plays the game where she's not able to really interact with people on an emotional level and connect with them. It's very sterile. It's very like she's in a hospital and she's got to spray everything first, and then she'll have a conversation with you. And if you give her advice, she's like, well, thank you for that. Thank you. I'll take that under advisement. That's a good idea. Like, I mean, she doesn't talk like people talk. She talks almost like a Sunday school teacher. Yeah. And that
too
is
too much time in government. Yeah, trapped in government regulations.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's like what Washington does to you.
And I do want to come back around to that when we get into talking about the weekend on the feeds and her style and where it's presented some problems. All right, so we have Paul that he does not love Dominique. It seems like that is a target that he's gunning for. You have Jessica, who did in this episode, Brent, you know, you've been hyping up Jessica. I mean, this did seem like that this was the ocean liner starting to pull the 180.
Yeah, yeah, I like what I've seen from Jessica throughout the week. Not necessarily the first few days. She was still a have-not. She was still trapped in the vetoed costume. She didn't like that, and her energy was really low. Now that she's out of that, her energy has come back a little bit, and she has been told effectively by, I'm trying to make sure that I have this right. Alex, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that Alex told her going into nominations that she's not the target, right? Like, she told Jessica, I have to put you on the block to make it look good, but you're not the target. Don't worry. Isn't that how it happened?
Yeah, that happened. And also, I mean, just this idea that it's really good for Jessica how it's worked out. Because we can't say that Jessica has done, like, necessarily a great job getting back in. I mean, she didn't go talk to, you know, I think you mentioned this on the Friday morning update show, Brent, is that, like, she hadn't gone and talked to, you know, HOH Alex at all. But it's, you know, it's a beneficiary. Jessica's a beneficiary right now of, like, circumstances of Paul pushing a very strong agenda. And then of, like, Alex's friends saying, like, Jessica's a waste. Jessica's a waste. So even though, I mean, it very could easily burn out. I could see a scenario where in 2 weeks Jessica wins HOH. It's like, I never did like Alex. It just goes ahead and targets her. But until that day, I mean, you know, it really has. Like, Jessica seems to have started to turn a corner here.
So, Brent, what I thought was really interesting was Alex's decision-making process, that we saw her talking with Whistlenut about what to do. And Jason was pushing, like, hey, make a big move. We got to target two people from the other side. Don't put Jessica up. That's the person that they want to see go out. We need to take apart their numbers. Whereas Alex, I thought, had the more interesting play, or the better long-term play of, no, we need to make that side feel like we're with them, but we can start to sow dissension in the ranks. And it did feel as though with Dominique that they had a person where her and Paul's interests ended up being mutually aligned with having this right person that they could start to make some big cracks in the organic grouping.
Right. I feel like in this scenario, and this is probably a really terrible analogy, but I feel like that Whistlenut is the Brent and Alex is the Alex, as in Kidwell. Like, Whistlenut is the one who's going to go in
Taryn?
There and, like, kick some ass. Huh?
Who's Taryn?
Like, he's not on the show. Girlbot, yeah. He was gone the first week with Cameron, yeah. So I feel like that Whistlenut is doing what I want him to do. I'm like, yeah, get in there. Like, put him up on the block. Betray them. That's what, you know, I want to see Matt and Raven's ass right up on the block. But that's not Alex, and that's not how she's going to play it. She has a smarter plan, and I have to say that upon reflection, because I was all aghast when I saw her on the first night that she won HOH, and she was like, I'm going to nominate Jessica. And I'm like, facepalm. Like, what is that? That's crazy. You said you're going to make a big move. You're going to nominate Jessica? That's crazy. But I have come around on her plan because it does make sense. She just has it. She has an understanding of the game where she feels like, look, here's the thing. She's getting to the right plan, but for the wrong reasons. She's trusting Paul way too much. That part's clear. Okay. But she's getting to the right agenda by putting Jessica up to make that side of the house happy, say, hey, look, I'm making it look good. I'm still going after Jessica, but also telling Jessica secretly, hey, you know, you're not the target. Don't worry. It's really Dominique. And she knows she has the votes to get out Dominique. So I like Alex's play here. After I started looking at the votes on the board, once I realized Paul was behind it, then I got a lot more buy-in for Alex's plan.
Yeah, I like that line of, yeah, I mean, it is kind of like the right idea, but kind of the wrong reasoning. I mean, you know, I think a lot of the things she's saying in her diary rooms don't compute logically for me. I mean, she's talking about like, oh, Dominique's ready to turn on her allies, so why should I work with her? Because she's ready to turn on her allies. I mean, she's totally a person you could work with. You know what I mean? I think there's just certain things that, like, Alex's line of logic doesn't really follow for me, and I feel like that could get her in trouble down the road, especially if she's willing to put, like, considerably more eggs in Paul's basket. Because, I mean, again, Paul just has all the options in the world, and they're talking like, oh, Paul's really with us. And it's like, only if he has to be. I mean, Paul's going to be as loyal as his options force him. So that's something that could be concerning. But she's going to escape this HOH pretty unscathed, so it's hard for me to really knock her too much, even though it's parts of me want to.
Okay, well, let's get back to all of this when we talk about the live feeds. A couple other things from the TV show. I love the Kevin and Ramsey's segment. That was so good. And, you know, it's interesting because I had not really known about this relationship that's going on between Kevin and Ramsey's, because all I ever hear about is Kevin is throwing Ramsey's under the bus. Brent, so which is it? Is it this version that the TV show presents, the hashtag Kevin knows best, where he really is taking Ramsey's under his wing? Or is Kevin constantly throwing Ramsey's under the bus?
I feel like it's mostly been Kevin throwing Ramsey's under the bus, and what I saw on the television show was a product of editing. I mean, I know that all of those things happened. However, they didn't happen like all within like a day and a half. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, it's so cute. Look at their relationship. It was just things that happen when you live in a house for 3.5 weeks with somebody. That's all this is. And they've decided to make a bit out of it. However, the bit they made out of it was very, very heartwarming, and I also enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, do you have a thought on this?
Well, I think they're trying to find more ways to incorporate Kevin into the show, given he's not, like, aside from the, you know, the hinky votes he's casting, he's not been, like, a major integral piece of, like, the strategy that's being played out so far. So that's, like, a way to do it, right, is to have these, like, Kevin segments, like, the way they kind of had Donnie segments, where it's, like, every week we can expect Donnie to do, like, his, like, grasshopper impression or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I mean, I kind of see it along those same lines. I think Kevin has, like Brent talked about, these moments with everybody. And I think we could just see it like increasing, like a Kevin knows best kind of thing with not necessarily Ramsey's, but many differing participants. Like how Dominique does her talk show. We could just see like varying guests on this.
But can it get problematic though, Brent, if we, you know, are building up this Kevin and Ramsey's relationship and then Kevin wins HOH next week and then is like, I got to target Ramsey's, this kid, he's no good. He's no good. Like, oh, yeah. Boy, this is weird. This is a departure.
I mean, that would definitely look bad, but first of all, I don't think that Kevin could win HOH, but I don't think he would ever go after Ramsey's. I really don't. I feel like he would go after the showmances. I think he's really over Raven at this point, and by result of that sort of Matt, like, he sees them as, like, sort of just the pretty people, the cool people who are just hanging out, and he's made a few comments about Raven that indicate to me that he's not too happy with her being in the house right now.
Okay. Well, we saw Raven tonight, and we, for the first time, got a package on Raven, her condition, painted in a very positive light, Alex. The Raven saga, how she has the stomach pacemaker, that's her second heart, and a very heartwarming piece for Raven. And the thing to watch here, voting still open for the halting hex. Could this swing the halting hex vote in her direction?
I guess it's possible. You know, I think it's interesting at this point to point out that, you know, yeah, this is really the first time we're getting it mentioned properly on the show, but it has been, you know, a through line in the house. I mean, it has been something that has been talked about, that has come up, that has been a reason people have talked about why they want to see Raven make jury or potentially even win the game, because she deserves it, because she needs it. And I think, you know, in addition, like, yeah, I think this positive kind of, you know, edit of it is representative of kind of how the house interprets it. You know, the house actually during one of these competitions allowed Raven to win, you know, I have not passed. Like, she's good for the entire season. And that comes back to this condition of hers that she's never going to have to go on slop now. And everyone agreed that, like, Raven is a no brainer to get this. So clearly in the house, it's very sympathetic. Like outside of the house, there seems to be like many differing interpretations because people are very cynical and critical. And like, you know, the knee jerk interpretation is always going to be cynicism with people who are going into Big Brother house. I think that Matt Hoffman kind of broke the mold on that one a little bit. Okay. But yeah, no, I think Raven's a very sympathetic character.
I think we're combining a lot of things. Can you just clarify, are people in the house wondering if her condition is real?
No, I'm not getting that vibe from anyone.
I mean, she does have the thing jutting out of her stomach.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think it's impossible to say she doesn't have a real condition. I think like there are people starting to speculate in the Big Brother ether about like how severe it is and whether or not it impacts all the things she claims in the house.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's like going to be as severe as potentially she says it could be. But right, neither here nor there.
Right. And the thing that you're not seeing right now on the television show is the fact that Raven also injured her foot, which has not been depicted on the television show right now. In fact, I don't know if they're ever going to show it, but at the rate that Raven's complaining about it, they're eventually going to have to show it because it's going to have to come up on the television show at some point.
Yeah.
She injured her foot when she was like coming down the stairs and split her foot in two, and then she ended up getting 5 stitches. And there have just been some things that have happened that a lot of people on the feeds haven't been happy with Raven about. We can get into it in the spoiler section.
Yeah.
But I just know that Raven is on thin ice with a lot of fans.
Okay.
But you're right. It is surprising they didn't show her injury yet because that should have happened, you would think, by now.
And she was clearly limping after the wall competition. She's like hopping into the house, and they never brought that up on the show. And Brent, when you say that there's a lot of people that are upset with her, you're talking about the live feed watchers, not the house guests, correct?
Right. There are a few house guests, namely Jessica and Kevin, who have said, you know, Jessica said, you know, that, you know, no one's going to take a shot at Raven because of her condition and everyone just wants to give her the money, basically saying we should get rid of Raven because she's a threat. Kevin has said, you know, what does she think? We're just going to let her get to the end and give her the money because she's got this disease. So there are two people in the house who have at least vocalized some dissension against let's give Raven the money. I feel like that chorus is only going to grow as the summer goes on. As far as the people on the outside, I'm just going to be straight with you guys. Raven injured her foot, and it does seem like her injury sort of comes and goes. Specifically, like when Christmas came back into the house, Raven sort of took off her sock to make sure that everybody could see her bloody foot. And whereas she wasn't limping before, all of a sudden she started limping again. I also saw her limping on the wrong freaking foot, if you can believe that. Like, she actually forgot, oh, yeah, this foot's injured, not this foot's injured. So it seemed, and it does seem like it, like, the injury is something where she's constantly complaining about it. Where, like, I mean, like, does she need a wheelchair? Is she that injured? I mean, like, somehow, listen, Rob, seriously, when Christmas is in the house, somehow she made it to the shower unassisted. She was fine. She had a shower and she's got a freaking cast on her leg. Raven has 5 freaking stitches. She's like, Matt, please help me. Can you carry me to the shower right now? My foot is really hurting. So that's why the life feeders have just had it up to here with her, because I have. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she does have a tendency sometimes, especially like Brent was talking about when Christmas came back into the house. She get a little bit of Scarlett O'Hara. Like, oh, Rhett, can you do this for me? I simply can't.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of smoke in terms of people, calling out Raven in terms of her condition. And
here's the thing. I just want to say I'm keeping my comments confined to what I'm seeing on the television show. I cannot speak about her GP. I don't know how severe it is. I've talked to my partner about it, who's a physician. He's talking about, like, there aren't that many people who have, like, really severe GP, and yet apparently there are many people who've died, as far as Raven's mom will tell. Yeah. So I'm just going to leave it like, I'm just going to talk about what's happening on the TV show and what I see from her injury is she's faking a lot of it.
I think that's the best way to go. It's a slippery slope doctors to be diagnosing, yeah. What is her, is she overblowing her condition to garner sympathy, or is she, she calling it right down the middle in terms of how her condition impacts her? Who knows?
Right.
The most I can do is report on what the people are saying, Rob. I don't plan on going any deeper than that in terms of, it's above my pay grade for sure.
We had Christmas return to the house with her broken foot, and this was another sad story. story tonight because we got to see, and I had heard Taryn over the weekend describe this scene on Saturday when he had the live feed update with Liana. And this was really tough to watch because here's Christmas, fitness professional, really having to go through the story of just how damaged her foot is and how she's not going to be able to get the full mobility back. She's going to have another surgery for the arthritis. Brett, this was tough to see on the show.
Yeah, it was tough to see on the show. I will stand by my opinion that I don't think the Christmas should be in the house right now because of this is my issue with it. And I want to clarify because I heard Taryn on the live feed show saying, you know, as long as the Big Brother producers are fine with it, this should be Christmas's decision. See, from my standpoint, that has it totally on its ear. That's totally backwards. It's not Christmas's decision. It's the issue is how fair is it to the rest of the house guests that this girl gets to go out of the house four different times over the past 2 weeks, gets pain meds every 2 hours, has a physical therapist person come by the house two or three times a week because she can't go out for PT. That's a person that she can trust. The whole point of being in the Big Brother house is you're in a house full of snakes with people that you can't trust. To have someone that you know you can talk to and just get things out to, I don't know. I just don't like that combined with what happened on the live voting show where she heard the vote.
All right, well, let's set that up because we haven't talked about that on the regular podcast. I know that Taryn has talked it through in the live feed update. So can you just reset what we know for sure?
Yeah, what we know for sure is that obviously there were three people voting before the commercial break on the Thursday night eviction show. It was Jessica, then Kevin, then Christmas. Obviously, we know Jessica and Kevin voted to evict Ramses. Christmas, out of nowhere, also voted to evict Ramses. However, they never thought to hang up the telephone when Julie was talking to us after she talked to Christmas. And Julie said, hey, going into the commercial, it's zero votes to evict Cody, zero votes to evict Alex, and three votes to evict Ramses. So Christmas knows this. So she's like, well, who voted second? So if I can just find that out, then I know who the snake is besides myself because I know how I voted. And fortunately for us right now, she's dropped it. But that could really mess up Kevin's game. I did note that on the live feed show that Taryn's like, you know, if this gets out, Christmas should really be pulled from the game because Kevin shouldn't be penalized for production's error by letting Christmas in on the fact that Kevin was the other hinky vote because that could really destroy his game that has been pretty masterful up until this point. But again, my point is she never would have heard that if she wasn't casting a vote in a freaking hospital bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex, your reaction to this?
It's just like we're going further and further down a rabbit hole I don't like. I just don't like the imprint that this seems to have on the season. It's just, you open yourself up for these things when you have people leaving the house, and it's unfortunate. It also, you know, and somebody was tweeting me about this, and I think it's a good point. It makes me think about, like, man, shouldn't you really be paying attention during these live votes to who votes first and stuff? Because it seems like increasingly Julie is setting up an interesting vote at come commercial time,
I mean,
right?
Increasingly, like, so I mean, I feel like it has been this way.
That's always been the case.
The whole way through.
I mean, very possible. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that, like, why aren't more people looking for this? This really, I think, is a bit eye-opening, where it's like the hinky votes always come in, like, the first five or six. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking around, I would really take note of who goes to vote early each week. I think that's important.
You guys do make good points. I still don't have a problem with her staying. This is not an ideal scenario. I do feel like, though, that in these circumstances that they did catch a fortunate break for now in terms of that this hinky vote in particular was told to Kevin that this was an order from Paul, who is working with Christmas. So it's her alliance that's pulling this off. So yes, circumstances could change and she could be on the opposite side of Kevin at some point down the road and could use this to disparage him. I do feel like that production should pull her aside and say, like, hey, let's drop this. This never happened. Don't bring it up again. If you mention this again, we will pull you from the game. But the fact that it happened, I feel like that. Hasn't she been through enough, Brent?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have. Maybe they have pulled her aside because she hasn't really brought it up anymore after the initial conversations about it. Maybe they didn't even realize that she knew it. And then when she went in the house, because she talked to like two or three different people, like, you know, well, this is what happened. This is what I know. But it never really got brought up again. And I think, like, I'm hoping that, you know, on her first diary room, they said, hey, just so you know, if you bring that up again, we're pulling you from the game because that was our error. You're not supposed to know that information. Drop it. And she hasn't brought it up since. So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it really does behoove them to, you know, clamp down on that because, I mean, that's really just something that, yeah, I mean, really, like, that's something that really shouldn't be allowed to happen moving forward. Like, it shouldn't be something that we have to worry about at all. And, I mean, you know, this might lose some people, but in Big Brother Canada 4, we saw the power of somebody who got to leave and was given, like, the opportunity to, like, come back. And they said things that weren't even true. But the fact that, like, the producers said, like, this person was able to watch feeds outside of the house because that was part of the twist. Some of the things they said happened that didn't actually happen were taken as gospel simply because of their role as someone who was known as an entity that production, like, allowed them to say. If Christmas is able to sell this idea that, like, I saw things production doesn't want me to see without production coming down on that, then that could be a really powerful tool. You really do want to curb that as soon as you see.
I mean, but is that happening?
No. I'm just saying, like, that opens, like, a serious possibility. It's a really strong play if, like, it's allowed to go unrestricted. I'm saying production, good for production for shutting it down.
All things being equal right now, I'm fine with her staying in the house, Rob. If, you know, I don't like it, but I hear what you're saying. And as long as things remain as they are right now, I don't feel like I can say anything more to try to argue the fact that she should be out of the house. Like, if you're not buying it yet, you're not going to buy it anymore. So unless something changes, let's just go with the fact that Christmas is in the house. And not only that, but the house guests are going to have to deal with that because originally the house guests thought, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, she'll be fine. She'll be out of her cast. That ain't happening anymore. They know she's going to be in a cast for the rest of the summer. So how do they navigate around the fact that if they end up on the block next to Christmas, they're probably going home because why would you send Christmas home when she can't compete in anything?
I mean, that everything turns around. The same reason why I was saying, oh, why should we get rid of Raven? Because then everybody will just give her the money if she gets to the end. Well, now that becomes a reason to get rid of Christmas. So, you know, every strength is a weakness. Every weakness is a strength. And there's ways to, like, they could talk themselves into anything if they want to. Brent, can you just really quick also tell me about her physical therapy? Is that going to be happening at the house or does she need to leave to go for PT?
Originally, I thought that she was going to have to leave to go for PT, but apparently that person is going to come to the house. I don't know where that's going to take place. Is it going to take place in the Den of Temptation? Hell if I know, but it's apparently going to, they're apparently going to come to the house. And again, how long is it going to take for the house guests to revolt? I mean, they see Christmas on a daily basis. She gets to do something that they don't get to do. I know it's because of this injury, but yet she gets a perk, if you can call it that, that other people are desperate for in the Big Brother house to talk to somebody that is not a snake in the grass. And she gets it. So how long did they put up with this?
Christmas, report to the Den of Temptation for physical therapy.
I don't know how much of a benefit that is that she gets. I mean, hopefully there'll be a gag order on the, and I'm not talking about Jose's new show on the physical therapy. All right, let's take some questions here. By the way, I like how Scott St. Pierre is putting these new questions up here from Twitter. This is from Chris Fernandez, who says, why do people get so hung up on making deals during the wall comps? Is this something else we can blame on James? No, I think that we need to cease and desist blaming this on James, okay? Because you're standing there on the wall. The people make deals in these competitions. It just happens to be you're up there for hours on end, and it's conducive to making deals. Am I missing something?
No,
Ollie made a deal up there. Ollie doesn't know who James is. Kaser made a deal up there. Kaser doesn't know who James is.
Right? So, I'm thinking back to like Big Brother Canada or Big Brother Canada, Big Brother 2, when Will and Monica were holding onto the key at the final four, and he's like, "You're not going to put me up. You're going to put up the other two, right?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Maybe." And he like, "That's good enough for me." And he let go of the key. I mean, like, that was a deal to me. Like, he knew what was going to happen there. I mean, they both knew.
Yeah, there was a they tempted them with an envelope of.
I remember. That was his ruse to get out of it. Yes, yes, I remember.
It's like, oh, good.
Logan says if Dominique leaves this week, will we say her talk show is on hiatus? Someone had asked if I would start a petition to save the Dominique talk show. We will work on that potentially. If there's enough pushing for the saving of the Dominique talk show, we can work on that. Chuck Beichel wants to know, did Cody just show up as a Jedi ghost during the wall comp? Alex, did you like how they did that where we saw a flashback to Cody telling Jessica, just imagine that your family is going to die if you don't win this.
Yeah, Liam Nixon.
Yeah.
That was great. I really like that. Because to my knowledge, we've never seen that on the show, right? We never saw that footage of him telling her that. So we've only seen it on the live feeds. It wasn't in the Thursday show, so I know we didn't see it. So that was really cool. I like how they did that. That was very fun.
Yeah, I wish they could have interspliced it with footage from today or the other day of Jessica polishing and keeping Cody's vacant mural picture clean, because that's a good juxtaposition, I think.
Wax on, wax off, Jessica. Is Paul the BB version of Boston Rob? He's a losing finalist vet being embraced by new players for dominating #RHAP. I mean, this is not the first time we've seen that comparison made about the Boston Rob-ness of Paul here in this season. Brent, do you think, is it premature though?
Yes, it's premature. My God. I mean, I remember last season, people were asking us, if Pauly wins the game, isn't he one of the best Big Brother players of all time? Bitch, please sit down. Hold yourself.
You're I guess
come on. Yeah. he's been... But Paul has been immune this entire time, free to cavort and do whatever he wants to do in the house. Pipe down.
Yeah. Yeah. Redemption Island wasn't built in a day.
It's pissed. I'm wicked pissed. How about that? Okay. Anthony S., a deal to protect five people. Why not make one more to protect 10? Hey, look, if it was Cody's HOH, you need a deal to protect five people. Okay, there's some precedent.
Yeah, this is what I said, that the Elena's deal was so vague, and the reason it was vague was because she knew that her friends could hear her, so she didn't want to say keep me, Mark, and Dominique safe, because then Matt and Raven be pissed at her. Keep me and Matt, Raven, and Mark safe, because then Dominique's going to be pissed at her. She just said something really vague, but in doing so, she opened the door for Alex to be able to interpret that how she wanted to.
Okay. This is from Chris. What do you guys think about the alliance with Alex and Paul? Is it better than any? Could we rank the alliances of Blank and Paul, Alex?
I guess we could. I feel like, I mean, Paul
is that
has
in the
options.
Top five
and
of Paul's alliances.
It's working its way there. I think right now probably is, but if, someone else wins HOX next week, it may fall out of the top five.
I feel like it is. I feel like it's in his top three. I feel like Paul and Kevin is number one. I feel like Paul and Elena is number two, and Paul and Alex is probably number three.
Okay.
Paul and Raven's probably still up there.
And Love Tour Alex wants to know, how does one eat so much cereal in a day? What's your go-to cereal? First of all, I'm really thrilled that all Matt does is eat cereal meme has taken off. I'm so pleased with myself every time I hear that. Alex, did you know that about Matt, that he loves cereal so much?
I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about Matt. I knew that Matt was going to play Big Brother and that he worked with a friend of mine. That's all I knew.
Can we just say, Matt is the biggest disappointment of all time for me. Coming into this season, I was like, oh my God, a friend of Alex Kidwell's, who's a friend of a friend, who he's been and he was, you guys, behind the scenes, Alex was texting me and Taryn and Melissa saying, hey, I just want you guys to know that a friend of a friend of mine is going to be on the show.
Exciting.
Right? He's going to win. It's the best place. I can't wait to see what he does. He's going to be awesome.
I know what this guy does for a living.
This dud comes on my television.
Yeah.
Watch him win anyway.
Take this guy down the cereal aisle.
I get it.
Clear out
the
whole store. It's amazing.
He's a real Count Chocula. Yeah.
I said he has a Final Two deal with Captain Crunch.
That's pretty much it.
It's great.
We thought Kobe was the serial killer. Matt's the real serial killer. He's killing 5 boxes of cereal a day.
Hashtag serial killer. Yes. I need to write that down.
All right. Let's get into the live feeds. We have so much to talk about from the weekend. And of course, if you want to bounce out, can't handle these live feeds, join us on Wednesday night and we'll be back again on Thursday night. Alex, can you tease what's coming up later on in the week?
Oh, without going into feeds?
Okay. All right.
Things and stuff. Competitions and strategic developments.
Let's talk about the live feeds. Eating a bowl full of spoilers right now.
Your taboos. Spoilios.
Right. So if you guys have been following the morning updates, you know a lot of what's going on. But let's try to just rattle through the headlines real quick. All right. Brent, give us the short version of this weekend.
The short version is that immediately they drew for the veto competition and pretty much right after nominations, I want to say. And then they had the veto competition that night. Like, it went boom, 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 boom. Like, we knew who the veto competition were, the nominations and everything within 24 hours. It was absolutely crazy. Whistlenut Jason ended up winning the power of veto. And it's a little bit significant because Jessica drew the House Guest Choice chip when she was drawing out of the bag. And she drew Jason's name and he ended up winning the power of veto. So now there's a decision to be had. Are we going to use the veto? And if so, who is Alex going to put up on the block?
Okay. By the way, I'm really starting to like Whistlenut. He's really grown on me.
Me too. Yeah, he's a feisty one. I like him. Yeah, okay. He's not here for any bull, and he sees what's going on. He's like, I'm not putting up with that anymore, which is exactly how
he deals with enough bull in
I know, right?
daily life.
Okay. So, Alex first of all, right away, Jason's like, I'm going to use the veto. I'm going to take Jessica down. He said he would have taken Jessica down before he even won the veto. He's like, if I win the veto, I'm going to take Jessica down because I don't like the fact that she's up there. And then it's like, well, who are we going to put up? So Paul wants Alex to put up Mark. Mark is not totally comfortable with being the nominee. All of a sudden, Jason has a bit of a relationship with Mark. He wants Alex to nominate Raven. Alex does not want to nominate Raven. Alex wants to nominate Mark. So it's this big sort of amalgamation of three people, Paul, Alex, and Jason, with a little bit of Mark on the side, constantly saying that he doesn't want to go up on the block because he's certain he'll go home. And eventually, after going round and round for about a day and a half, as of this hour, it looks as though Jason is going to use the power of veto. He is going to take Jessica off the block, and Alex is going to nominate Mark, even though Mark doesn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a revolving door of conversations. Paul is adamant that Mark needs to go up next to Dominique because he'll be a vote for Dominique. Jason is adamant that if Mark's just going to be a pawn, you know, Jason isn't somebody who's like a big student of this game. And we've found a lot of times when people come into this game and don't really know the game, the initial knee-jerk reaction is to be scared of the big athletic guys, right? So Jason, I think, put him in that camp. He's like, I don't understand why I would use the veto to put Mark on the block if we're not sending him home. Like, that's just going to make him mad at me. And I don't want a player like Mark, you know, thinking of me as a target of his. So, you know, Jason doesn't want to use the veto if Mark's going to go up. Alex is saying the veto, like, if the veto's used, Mark is going up. Jason would much rather see Raven go up. He thinks that's the perfect pawn to place next to Dominique, and that doesn't, you know, have a mark, leave a mark, potentially mad at him. So it's three people coming at it from three different places. Alex is trying to make something work between Paul and Jason, but they're really just on two different sides of the house. It's very difficult to make that actually play.
Now, Brent, let's talk about the events of Saturday morning where we got some action going on in the Big Brother house between Dominique and Paul. Could you set up how that came to be?
Yes, the problem with Dominique, and I alluded to this in the pre-spoiler section, is that she has a bit of a wall up. I feel like somebody had it right in the chat when they said that Dominique speaks in riddles. More than that, I feel like Dominique speaks in scripture. Dominique speaks like she's reading the Bible at any moment. She's like, you know what? I do believe you that it wasn't you who outed me when she's talking to a few of her friends. She's like, but there's a snake in the house. There's a tempter. There's something going on. She's trying to tie it to the whole Den of Temptation thing with all the snakes in the house they've got right now. So, and it's clear that she's talking about Paul. So people come to Paul and say, look, Dominic's throwing your name around. She's talking bad about you. Obviously, Dominic never specifically mentioned Paul's name. And so from Dominique's standpoint, she's like, well, I've never said anything about Paul. You know, I mean, I've never said his name has never come out of my mouth. So that gives Dominique a license to be able to say, no, I've never said it. When Paul was talking to her, confronting her about it with half, I would say about a third of the house in the HOH room at the time, Paul was like, well, you know, you heavily implied that it was me. Basically, he knows that she's been bad mouthing him. Here's the thing. Dominic is absolutely convinced, and this is why we alluded in the pre-spoiler section, that Alex is probably going to come out of this week scot-free, because Dominic isn't holding Alex accountable for anything. Dominic thinks that Alex was basically puppeted by somebody else, and his name is Paul, and she would be right about that, but she didn't really get to a solution when she confronted Paul.
Yeah, I got to watch most of that play out in real time between Dominique and Paul. It was a very odd time of day for there to be a somewhat house meeting in the Big Brother house. This was like at 7 o'clock in the morning, Big Brother time. And I got to tune in live for this. And I thought it was interesting because you had Dominique, who probably had the moral high ground here and also did have some info to nail Paul to the wall on. But I thought that Paul did a really good job of deflecting what was coming at him and turning it around. And I felt like that she was really unable to deal with what Paul was putting on her. I mean, think that Paul, with his energy, just stayed on offense the whole time and accused, and turned everything back around to her. And she really ended up in this very defensive posture and was trying to talk about very complicated things, where Paul was able to keep the message really simple. And I have to feel like that everybody that was in that room walked away much more on Paul's side, even though that Paul is, you know, there's a lot of things to be mad about at Paul about, Alex.
Yeah, well, I think her approach was two things, right? It was passive but accusatory. And I think that never works out well, because I think when you're going to accuse somebody of something, especially of being deceptive or of lying, you know, the natural reaction, especially if they actually, you know, are telling the truth and you're calling them a liar, like the reaction that most the common reaction is outrage. I mean, if like you accuse me of being a liar and I'm not lying, like, God, is there anything more infuriating? That drives me crazy. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, I need you to know that that's not true. And like, that really can set people off. So I think Paul, even though he's lying, he's representing the emotion of the truth teller.
Right.
In that the person who is most angry in that spot, you would think, is the person who's being wronged in terms of the true events. And Dominique, when she's like, well, I don't know, all I know is, like, that seems like you're backing off of your version of events. And your version of events is good. Don't do that.
Right. The problem here is the problem. Dominic is fighting with one hand behind her back, though, because Dominic is very concerned, rightly so, frankly, from my standpoint, about being depicted as the angry black woman on a reality TV show. She doesn't want to be that at all costs. Yeah. She's made that known on the feeds. So she's not giving people the normal reaction that you would have if you were the person who's been wronged. Additionally, she also called this house meeting and said, I want everybody up here, and as many people got up there as possible. But then when they got up to the HOH room, she wouldn't give them the names of the people that she was trying to implicate. She just clammed up. And of course, then that makes her just look guilty.
I totally understand what Dominique is concerned about. And, you know, that you're right that she is having to play this game from a position where she's very concerned about her image. And that's really unfortunate.
Game within a game.
But there is a middle ground here where she can still, like, make the compelling case and lay out the case against Paul and not end up, you know, flying off the handle or being seen in a way that is coming off as ultra aggressive. I mean, or she could not take that route at all and don't accuse Paul of anything in a house meeting and sort of, like, work behind the scenes.
Yeah. And well, and I think the other, you know, issue here, you know, Brent talks about she has one hand behind tied behind her back in that respect, but she also has like three fingers of the other hand tied behind her back on the other hand because Paul's immune. So even if you're able to successfully turn some kind of coup against Paul, it can't happen this week to save you. And that's unfortunate because I think a lot of times when we see a house flip or some kind of thing happen like that, it's because, you know, people are ready to enact a plan. And I think even though Paul won't be immune next week, I think it'll maybe take a week of Paul being vulnerable for people to like for that and that possibility to even resonate with people.
And
let
me also add something that I think that Paul is doing especially well in the house right now. And he did this in this conversation that he was having with Dominique, where he's just everything out of Paul's mouth is like, you know, bluster, BS. And he's really got everybody believing that because Paul is all about friendship and it's this vague, like nebulous term. And Paul, if you attack Paul, or if you accuse Paul of anything, that's an attack on his integrity. And Paul's integrity is all about friendship. And so you are sort of like invalidating his self-worth and everything that he's about if you are even accusing him of a liar, of being a liar. So he goes off the handle. So anybody that attempts to accuse him of anything, it like you can't even ask Paul, like, but Paul, were you up to this? Like, what are you talking about? How could you say this about me? That everything I am is about friendship. And you know that that's what. And so he's like put himself in this position where he's almost, you know, invulnerable to any attacks on his character, Brent.
He's mostly invulnerable. I do feel like if it ever comes out that he was in on the plan for Kevin to be the hinky vote both weeks, or that Kevin knew that he was going to that Paul knew that Kevin was going to cast the hinky vote the second week, and that Paul knew that Kevin was on their side the first week and was trying to deflect the blame from Kevin. If that ever comes out, I feel like that there will be hell to pay with a lot of people with Paul. But right now, he's avoiding that. Here's the thing with Paul. I don't feel like you're never going to find a reason. Like, Vanessa Russo is never going to find a reason to put Paul on the block anytime soon. You're just going to have to put him up on the block, backdoor him, and just hope that the numbers are there to get him out of the house. I mean, I don't feel like you're ever going to be able to argue yourself into a reason with Paul, at least as the house currently stands. You're just going to have to say, look, dude, you're too good. You've played before. I got to get rid of you. Girl, bye.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, this week, I mean, it was Alex's HOH, but Paul really had so much control, and he elected to basically create an enemy out of Dominique from someone who had his back up until the point that he decided to, you know, get bothered by things. And he's got a blind spot. We've talked about it this weekend a couple times. So in Ramses, I mean, Ramses would take a shot at Paul if he could. I mean, Ramses was the victim of Paul's, like, you know, Den of Temptation curse. He's, you know, felt ostracized and alone this entire game. He sees Paul running the house and he's aware that, like, he can't gain social traction throughout this game. And Paul's got to be a big piece of why, because Paul seems to have his hand in everything. So if Paul continues to, you know, operate with impunity and look inward because he feels like he's got no enemies in front of him, Ramsey's going to be the one that finally takes the shot that gets him, I think.
To me, that even if that scenario that you came up with, Brent, where if people start to find out about the hinky votes, then Paul's going to really be in trouble. I just don't know if there's anything that could stick to Paul because he's such a great BSer that I think that he can just, you know, run his circular logic on anybody and try and get out of it. I think the only real danger he gets into is, you know, when we go back to look at somebody like Vanessa, who you mentioned, who is another great BSer in the Big Brother house. The one time she really ran into a problem before she ended up getting taken out of the final three was when Becky was the HOH, and Becky just wouldn't listen to her. So if there you end up with somebody who's an right. HOH who just is like, Paul, I'm not even going to listen to this. I'm not even going to acknowledge you. I'm going to walk away from you. And he just can't get a word in. That's where I think he could run into problems. But I think he could talk his way out of almost anything at this point.
The person I think that who will eventually pull the trigger on Paul is Jason. Jason is the person more than anything who I feel like is not here for Paul's BS. It's like, he's like, well, who, why does Paul get to say in this? Who's Paul? Like, Paul's not the HOH. Paul didn't win the veto. Why does Paul get to say anything? That's what, he's been really irritated with Paul this week. I feel like that it started last week and now it's grown to this week. I feel like it's only going to get bigger as the summer goes on. And Jason is somebody who, he will not hesitate to pull the trigger. He's like Becky. He's like, I have a target. I'm going to go after it. I don't care. Even if I go out of the house next week, I'm willing to go after him. That's the kind of guy that Jason
okay,
is.
Okay, and then in terms of the votes, Alex, right now, who's going home on Thursday?
Dominique. I mean, yeah, right. So there's three possibilities as it stands right now. You know, and we talked about Paul seems to, you know, he keeps spinning this rhetoric and everyone's buying into everything he says. This is the first time, I think, that Paul like was adamant something's going to happen that didn't happen. In that Friday night when they played the veto competition, Paul was like, oh, for sure, that means ceremony tomorrow. There's going to be an eviction on Sunday. Like, he really had everyone believing this. And this didn't happen this weekend. There's no reason for him to be so sure of this, but this is something
he's
certain about.
Why would there be
an
eviction on Sunday?
Why would there be an eviction on Sunday? It's a great question. Paul just like has this idea that like, well, I know how these things work. And because they fast track the one thing, he just, you know, naturally inferred that they would do the other thing. So I think that should be a little bit illuminated to some people in there, like, oh, maybe Paul doesn't know everything. Maybe some of the things he's saying can't necessarily be taken at 100% face value, because maybe he does just kind of like talk just to talk sometimes. So I think that's interesting moving forward. And I mean, ultimately, it's going to be either Dominique on the block with Mark as a pawn, Dominique on the block with Raven as a pawn, or Dominique on the block with Jessica as a pawn, meaning the veto didn't get used. I mean, those seems like the three possible outcomes at this point. But Paul is so heavily pushing for Mark up as a pawn, while Alex and Jason seem like they're not ready to, you know, put their feet in the ground, like really dig in to that extent. I feel like because Paul is so adamant about the one thing happening, that's probably the direction
Brent,
it goes.
Could you come up with a scenario for Dominique to stay on Thursday?
Well, she needs to get her butt out of that room, number one. She's isolating herself completely right now, totally playing Big Brother the wrong way. You're not going to help yourself by begging for temptations for America or for God to come and save you. God is not
or
going
fasting.
To help you.
You don't know that.
That's,
what are you doing not eating? How's that helping you? Okay. Don't fast.
Here, just to give you guys a little bit of context, the other thing that happened in the meeting is that Dominic tried to say something about God at some point, and Paul is like, God's not here to help you. God may be out here, God may be inside of you, speaking to you right now, but he's not telling you to do certain things in the Big Brother game. He's not telling me what to do in the Big Brother game. There was a lot of God talk. Dominic took offense to that. Elena took Paul's side, so now Dominic and Elena are totally kaput, and Paul has just had it up to here with her God talk, to the point where during the veto meeting tomorrow, he wants to wear a snake costume because he thinks that Dominic is going to come after him, and he wants to tell her that there is no God, that it's not that's not what's happening in the Big Brother house right now. So a lot of stuff that makes me a little uncomfortable to talk about, but more than anything, the one thing that I can say is that Dominique needs to get out and talk with people, okay? She needs to get out and talk with people. She needs to socialize with them. Here are two votes who I think would keep Dominique. I do feel like Jessica would keep Dominique, assuming that she's vetoed off the block, and I feel like Josh would keep Dominique because he really is heartbroken about the fact that Dominique is being treated like this, even though he can't really talk to her very much right now. Dominique got into a fight with Ramses right before or right after she was nominated, which totally did her a disservice. If she hadn't done that, that would have been three votes. But again, the problem is she needs to get to six votes. There are 10 people voting this week, and six is a lot harder for me to get to than five. I could get to five votes. I cannot get to six.
Okay. Let's take some more questions before we start to wrap up tonight. This is one from Anthony. Saddest story of the night. Christmas's injury, Raven's diseases, or no HOH room reveal?
They're done with the HOH room reveal. They didn't do it for Cody. They didn't do it for Paul. It's like the key wheel. Like, yeah. It's bye. Like, later.
Cody saying, who wants to see my HOH room would have been pretty good.
Yeah,
bringing it full circle with the kind of, I mean, there was a little bit of a moment that got a lot of, people were talking about it outside of the house more, I think. But, you know, it was like this little kind of like ethical high ground battle where Dominique said something about God judging people. And Raven's like, you know, I have terminal illnesses, right? Where it's just like, none of this is what Big Brother is about. You know what I mean? So it was just, that's not what I like to discuss. Like, that's not the kind of gameplay that I like to talk about. I think when you're bringing, like, all these factors in, it just kind of, like, adds a seriousness to the game and, like, a level to the game where it's like, okay, well, can I still campaign for votes? Or is that, like, now not something I can do? You know, like, it's just, right. I don't love that. I gotta say.
Stephanie says, to what extent did Dominique throwing Elena's name out without saying Elena's name influence her demise? Alex, did you catch any of that?
Yeah, so that's actually something I meant to say something about earlier, in that we were talking about how, I mean, Paul and, you know, Elena really are the major ones responsible for Dominique's downfall, because Elena did fully turn on Dominique, but she wasn't the one to do it first. I mean, I think it's really crazy how Dominique had the, like, arguably the best read in the house on Paul, and somehow had just awful, awful read on Elena, where, like, she thought Elena was, like, coming after her. There was no indication that Elena was doing anything that would, like, you know, turn her against Dominique anytime soon. And, you know, when Dominique was in a good position last week, she was starting to tell people, like, I don't trust Elena. Elena doesn't like me. Elena's jealous of my relationship with Mark. And all that did was, like, remove a potential, like, Elena's someone that could have gone to bat for her this week if she hadn't done all that. So, I mean, that's really the one thing where I think Dominique really shot herself in the foot prematurely. There was no reason for her to feel the way she felt about Elena. She really read the room wrong on that one.
Yeah, Brent, let me ask you, has the idea of the battle back resurfaced? We know that this Friday night we're going to see a battle back take place, and you would think that somebody like Paul, who's got all these angles figured out, the one thing that seems to be a blind spot is that he's sending somebody into the battle back to potentially face Cody, who could be a pushover in a physical competition against the Codester, bringing Cody right back into the house, wasting everything that Paul did back in week two.
Yeah, but on the flip side, though, Rob, I feel like the person that Paul needs to be more concerned about right now is Dominique coming back into the game, not Cody coming back into the game. Cody has said in interviews that he's willing to work with Paul, that Paul is a straight-up guy. He wants to go after, like, the Marks and Elenas of the world. Dominique sees Paul as a total snake. She thinks, like, he's, like, the proverbial... Here's the thing. Paul thinks that Dominique thinks that she's a prophet. And so she thinks that Paul is a snake and that she's foreseen this. And so Paul is worried about the fact that if somebody does come back, he doesn't want it to be Dominique. I think he would rather it actually be Cody, because they left on pretty amicable terms more than anything. And I do feel like Dominique could beat Cody, depending on the kind of competition that it is, in a battle back competition. And I do agree with you that it's a bit of a blind spot. I think Paul feels like that since they did a battle back last year, that they're not going to do it this year. He's been saying that he hopes that if they do a buyback, then that they're going to do it for the jury, not for the pre-jury. But he would be wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, this was what, like, just another Cody logic moment where, you know, I mean, it does speak to what Cody feels are admirable qualities in this game, but it's really just flawed thinking where he's like, I respect Paul because he's the only one that had the courage and, like, the fortitude to take a shot at me. You mean he's the only other person who's won HOH? No one else is one head of household. There's literally one person that had an opportunity to do this thing, dude. So, like, your logic is
okay,
so
let's
bad.
Take one more question. This is from Stephanie, who says, could Alex treating Jason like a child hurt their relationship going forward? We saw Alex telling Jason to stop it on the episode tonight. Is that a possibility? Is Whistlenut sensitive, Brent?
No, not right now. I feel like Jason's just happy to be safe, that they're not losing any numbers on their side, that Dominic from the Cool Kids Alliance is going to go home. And I don't feel... Here's the thing. I feel like that more than anything, I feel like Alex is a good effect on Whistlenut right now, because he wanted to charge like a bull at the problem, and I feel like there a little more subtlety was probably in order this week.
Got that rodeo clown.
I want someone to make a meme now of, like, Whistlenut at, like, a little, like, student's desk and Alex with, like, a yardstick where he's like, can I use the veto? And Sam put up Raven, like, no, bad.
Okay.
It's not okay.
All right, so fun stuff tonight. Good recap of the weekend and what's to come this week. Of course, we've got episodes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday coming up this week. So lots of Big Brother. Of course, Taryn is going to be anchoring the live feed updates. I think this week we said that they're going to be live at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific time all week long on our Facebook page at facebook.com/RobHasAPodcast. All right. And then, of course, don't miss the LFC roundtable. Brent, what time does that kick off tomorrow?
I believe it is at 8 p.m. tomorrow. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alex Kidwell.
Yep, sounds right. Do you want to tease the guests for this week, or do you want to leave it cryptic?
No, please.
No, you. I don't know who they are. I've done forgot.
All right. So on Wednesday, we will be joined by the Virgin King, okay. Scott Dennis.
Woo!
And on Thursday, winner of Big Brother 15.
All right, Andy Herron.
Yay! All right.
So
yeah, it's a solid lineup coming forward.
Solid lineup on the podcast. Big thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who is working on all this stuff while he's on the road. Appreciate that. And then, of course, check out Taryn Armstrong and Alex. Are you so in the know that you know who's going to be on with Taryn tomorrow?
Is it you?
No.
Oh, you're talking about the morning update. I thought you were talking about Taryn's interview thingy. Tomorrow, I assume it's me and maybe somebody else.
Okay,
I don't know.
So maybe it's Alex, maybe it's somebody else. It's a mystery. It's a cliffhanger.
It's a cast of thousands, yes. Rob.
I imagine I'll be there. It's like, will we have a third or not, I think is the question.
All right. And, of course, if you want to check out what we did over on Post Show Recaps for Game of Thrones, you can check that out at postshowrecaps.com or subscribe to our Game of Thrones podcast via postshowrecaps.com/GOT iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.